Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, October 23rd, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready, we are. As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, and not only this, but also we keep on boasting or glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing, because we, spiritually adult believers, know that suffering for blessing produces perseverance, courageous endurance. And perseverance, courageous endurance, produces or brings about proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, produces, brings about hope, absolute confidence, especially hope 2 and hope 3, greater grace blessing for time and for all eternity. And hope never disappoints because love for God has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, who was given to us, the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. And I have to come back in a little bit here. Snap, crackle, and pop. was a cereal I ate as a kid occasionally. It wasn't my favorite. Rice Krispies. And they had this stupid song, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Well, that's what I do all the time now. Snap, Crackle, and Pop. And so some people ask, how are your knees doing? Great. I sing Snap, Crackle, and Pop all day long. It's just pain, and that's not a big deal. So I've reached that point of Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Now, I went to a specialist, had him do all the x-rays and everything on my knees, and I was hoping he would say, you know, give an injection or something in there. And he said, you need two new knees. I said, well, I need a new brain too, but I said, is there anything else that we can do besides two new knees? No, you need two new knees. We only do one at a time. So how long will it take to do both of them? At least 6 months to get everything cleared up. I said, okay, well, thank you very much. I said, I'm not going to have it done. I'm not going to be away from here 6 months and not feeding you God's word. So I just snap, crackle, and pop. Day after day, snap, crackle, pop. But I'll be here until the Lord says, get your patootie up here. And then when he says that, I'm not going to argue. And when I get to heaven, I'm not going to ask, can I go back? I want to see who won the election, you know, something like that. No, I can't tell you how excited I am to see Jesus Christ face to face. That will be the best of all. So here they have this great passage, Romans 5, 3 through 5. And we need to understand some principles about suffering. A lot of people, they hear the word suffering and immediately go, oh no. And then some, when I teach about suffering for blessing for those who reach spiritual adulthood, I hear other believers saying, I'm staying a baby. I want to stay a baby or adolescent. To hell with this getting into spiritual adulthood and getting into this kind of thing. Well, you've missed everything. It's momentary light affliction. Just snap, crackle, pop. Momentary light affliction. Not a big deal. And when you have God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure, you clear the hurdle. And as you clear the hurdles, you accelerate your spiritual momentum, your spiritual growth, and you accomplish what God has us here to do. Love Him with virtue love. So we need to know a few things about suffering. One, in the Word of God, there are two general categories of suffering, and they are based on the decisions that we make from our own volition. In the Word of God, there are two general categories of suffering, and they are based on the decisions that we make from our own volition. First of all, good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life that God has given to us by the spiritual skills. Good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And that results in suffering for blessing. So that's the first category. Remember again, two general categories of suffering. They're based on the decisions that we make from our own volition. either good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and the result, suffering for blessing. The second category, bad decisions. You use your volition to make bad decisions. Bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. Bad decisions that you're living your life by the power of the sin nature rather than by the power of the Spirit of God. And that results in punitive suffering. So two general categories of suffering. Suffering for blessing from you making good decisions in your life. And look, we're not here that long. You're going to turn around and you're out of here. And in the short time while we are here, go for the gusto. Live the spiritual life. Make the good decisions for God, for the Word of God, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You know, you're going to have some suffering for blessing, but that's suffering for blessing. You have all the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles. You have God's problem-solving devices. You can handle it. You can handle it and glorify God in the midst of it. But if you use your volition to make bad decisions, to live in Satan's cosmic system, to live by the lust patterns of your own old sin nature instead of by God the Holy Spirit, then you will come under punitive suffering. And that you can't handle. You can't handle that. Because that suffering, punitive suffering, is designed to wake you up. It's God's way of trying to wake you up. You're going the wrong way. You're coming to the cliff. You're about ready to go over the cliff. You're going the wrong way. And you can't handle it until you use God's problem-solving device of rebound and get back into fellowship with God. Get back into the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. And then God takes that was unbearable suffering, and now it's converted to bearable suffering. Or sometimes He removes it completely, all away, completely. But He definitely will bring it to where it's something you can bear and handle. So, point two. Suffering then acts as a guardian or a parent in your life. Suffering acts as a guardian or a parent in your life. Suffering plays an important role in the life of the adult human being, whether he's a believer or an unbeliever. What our parents did for us in childhood, suffering does for us as adults. God has given us suffering as a parent for the rest of our lives. The discipline and restraints of childhood imposed by our parents are now replaced by the disciplines and restraints of suffering, replacing the role of parents in our lives. So, subpoint one, suffering is either a warning that we are doing what we're doing is wrong, or it is a means of greater blessing. So suffering is either a warning that what we are doing is wrong, or it is a means of greater blessing. You see, parents raising children, they don't always spank. They don't always discipline. They also give us things. They love to give you things, so they both discipline and give us blessings. So also, God has provided for the entire human race the parent of suffering after we leave home. So subpoint two, the only restraint some people have after they leave home is the suffering that results from their own bad decisions. The only restraint some people have after they leave home is the suffering that results from their own bad decisions. Three, as a guardian in our life, suffering is designed by God for our good because it does two things. As a guardian in our life, suffering is designed by God for our good because it does two things. First, it restrains us. It restrains us from sin, human good, and evil. Just as our parents restrained us when we were doing the wrong thing. I remember growing up and we were not allowed as little tiny tots to go out and play in the street. I was so small I don't remember the dog. I had a little dog that was given to me as a little toddler, and the dog ran out in the street and was run over and killed. And I cried and cried and cried and cried. And my mom and dad said, "We will never, ever give you another dog again until we buy a farm. And we get out on the farm, you can have as many dogs as you want." And as we were growing up, we were always going out looking for farms to buy. We looked and looked and looked. We never bought any. I was always excited because I thought, now dog, or lots of dogs. Well, that never happened. We stayed in the same house. And I didn't have a dog until I got married. No, I'm not, nothing to do with my wife. No. When my grandmother met Debbie for the first time, she says, "Oh, she's a cute little heifer." And as we're going out to the car, Deb says, "Your grandmother called me a cow." "No, she called you a cute little heifer. You had those big brown eyes, and that's a good, you don't understand, that's grandma's highest praise, cute little heifer." She didn't call you, well, I still think she called me a cow. I told her. I don't know how we got on all this, but when I was a kid, I was not allowed, if I got out playing in the street, I got spanked. Why? I mean, I got spanked hard. They didn't want to see me run over like that dog. They didn't want to see me run over. I was making a bad decision. I was told by my mom and dad, do not go out and play in the street. We already had the dog killed. They didn't want me or Don or Mike run over and killed. So they had rules for us because that was a bad decision. So it restrains us from sin, human good, and evil, just as our parents restrained us from making bad decisions. And also it challenges us to advance in the plan of God, just as our parents challenged us to make good decisions in life as we were growing up. When we were under our parents' authority and training, they kept encouraging us to make good decisions in our life. I can still hear my father tell me, "Now, when you're in school, you respect the authority of the teachers and your coaches 100%, and you don't violate that. And if you get," and at that time, they don't do it anymore, teachers gave you a hack. They had a paddle. Paddle I saw had holes drilled in the paddle and had about 100 names on it, because anybody that got hacked by it wanted to put their name on it. My father said, you get a hack at school, you'll get two at home when you get home. So whenever my mom and dad went to PTA meetings, they would always say, Richard is so quiet and so behaved. He just does everything he is told. And my mother said, I think you have the wrong child. You don't have our child. No, I knew I didn't want to get two hacks at home. And Dad didn't use a paddle. He just used his hand. He didn't need a paddle. So it challenges us to advance in the plan of God, just as our parents challenged us to make good decisions when we were under their authority and training. Suffering is designed to challenge the believer to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 4. While suffering is a restrainer in life, it also plays a major role in accelerating our momentum to spiritual adulthood. While suffering is a restrainer in life, it also plays a major role in accelerating our momentum to spiritual adulthood. 5. Suffering for blessing is another guarantee from God that the believer can and does fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life by advancing to spiritual maturity. Suffering for blessing is another guarantee from God that the believer can and does fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life by advancing to spiritual maturity. And therefore, suffering for blessing becomes a major system for the glorification of God. So that was all under point 2, suffering acts as a guardian or a parent in life. Point 3, suffering is used as a measurement of life. It's used as a measurement of life. Now let me amplify that. 1, suffering never leaves the Christian as it found him. Suffering never leaves the Christian as it found him. As a result of suffering, we're either the better or the worse for it. When you suffer, you will never be the same again. So suffering never leaves the Christian as it found him. Subpoint 2. If during suffering the believer reacts through arrogance or bitterness or self-pity, then you make yourself a loser. And you're not going to go forward in the plan of God. You're going to go backward. And I've heard Christians blame God when suffering comes into their life. And they blame God for the suffering. And that is arrogance, bitterness, self-pity. You're doing everything wrong at that point. And you're making yourself a loser in the plan of God. And you're going backwards in the plan of God. You're not going forward. He's set back in his spiritual life and in his life in general. In other words, you cannot afford to react to suffering. Instead, respond by the grace and power of God. Don't react. And this requires the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure. Subpoint 3. If during suffering the believer responds through the application of the Word of God to his life, he eventually advances to the point of becoming a winner believer. If during suffering the believer responds through the application of the Word of God to his life, precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, he eventually advances to the point of becoming a winner believer. Subpoint four, no one stands still under suffering. You're either going to go forward and advance or go backwards and retrogress, but you never stand still. No one stands still under suffering. You either move forward and advance in the plan of God, or you go backwards and retrogress. So point three, suffering is used as a measurement of life. It never leaves the Christian as it found him. Point four, for the arrogant believer living in the cosmic system, all suffering is designed for blessing on a very limited scale. For the arrogant believer living in Satan's cosmic system, all suffering is designed for blessing on a very limited scale. What is that? One, to bring you back to reality. To bring you back to reality. Two, so that you come to your senses. Come to your senses. Third, to bring you to the point of rebound. You recognize your own arrogance. You recognize your own bad decisions. And so you utilize the precisely correct procedure, rebound, you acknowledge your sin to God, you're forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. You're restored to fellowship with God. You're restored to the filling of the Spirit. You're restored to the spiritual life. You got your head above water. Now you can start making good decisions and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Fourth, to bring you to the point of spiritual recovery. To bring you to the point of spiritual recovery. Five, to show you that your scale of values is wrong and you must change your priorities. So, point four, for the arrogant believer making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, all suffering is designed for blessing on a very limited scale. To bring you back to reality, to bring you to come to your senses, to bring you to the point of rebound, to bring you to the point of spiritual recovery, to show you that your scale of values is wrong and you must change your priorities. Subpoint one, punitive suffering originates from the believer's bad decisions. Punitive suffering originates from the believer's own bad decisions, from his own negative volition to the absolute truth of God's Word, to his own living in Satan's cosmic system, to his own bad decisions related to sin and evil. So punitive suffering originate from the believer's own bad decisions, negative volition to God's Word, living in Satan's cosmic system. Subpoint two, punitive suffering is resolved by the problem-solving device of rebound, which gets you back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and your spiritual life. So punitive suffering is resolved, precisely correct procedure, rebound, which gets you back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, your spiritual life. Subpoint three, all suffering left over after rebound is designed for blessing. Now sometimes it's taken away after you rebound. Sometimes God will take it all away. On a few occasions he does, but other times he reduces it to where you can handle it. So all suffering left over after rebound is designed for blessing. This is why God adjusts the suffering for you after rebound. The suffering may be cut down since what you brought on yourself was more than you could handle or bear. But God reduces the suffering so that you can handle it. You can now endure it. For God never puts on you more suffering than you can bear. Sometimes the suffering may even be eliminated altogether. Subpoint 4. When your suffering is more than you can bear, then the origin is your own volition. It's your own fault, your own bad decision. It's never the sovereignty of God. When your suffering is more than you can bear, the origin is your own volition, never the sovereignty of God. Subpoint 5. The believer from his own bad decisions piles on himself more suffering than he can bear. The believer from his own bad decisions piles on himself more suffering than he can bear. No one else can do this to us except ourselves. 6. God never gives us more suffering than we can handle. God never gives us more suffering than we can handle. So what God does not remove, He intends for us to bear, to endure, to handle, and to solve by His grace and His power. Precisely correct procedure of His problem-solving devices. 7. This means that only the believer who resists, rejects, or reacts to God and His Word puts himself through punitive suffering where he cannot bear the suffering. This means that only the believer who reacts, rejects, or reacts, who resists, rejects, or reacts to the absolute truth of God's Word, God and His Word, puts himself through punitive suffering where he cannot bear the suffering. 8. There is no suffering too great for the plan of God to resolve. No suffering too great for the plan of God to resolve. Therefore, 9. All problems of suffering are resolved by the grace and power of God. Therefore, all problems of suffering are resolved by the grace and power of God. The power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God in your heart. 10. The grace and power of God is far, far greater than any suffering, any adversity, or any disaster we will ever face in life. The grace and power of God is far, far greater than any suffering or any adversity or any disaster we will ever face in life. Well, these are some of the principles of suffering. There are two categories of suffering, punitive suffering and suffering for blessing. And we have studied these in detail in the past, and I refer you to your notes on these, but gave you this as a start. We're going to be looking at some passages that Paul also talks about. I love this. Momentary light affliction, what he calls his suffering for blessing. And then we'll take a look at what those momentary light afflictions are. I go through that and I go, all I got is snap, crackle, pop. We'll go through what Paul calls momentary light affliction. And that's suffering for blessing for the winner believer. And I hope you all get to go through it. We could take all of ours together. We wouldn't even come close to Paul. He's the toughest SOB, son of Belial. No, not really. He was the toughest believer of all time. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.